This week on Jaguars Weekend, a fourth quarter comeback in Chicago led to a happy locker room at Soldier Field.
Nice job, man.
Now the Jags are back at the bank to try to make it three in a row. We'll sit down with the head coach to take a closer look at the Raiders. And we'll look back at a fun night for a good cause at Everbank Field. All that and more ahead on Jaguars Weekend.
This is Jaguars Weekend, brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. Everbank, it's your money. Make the most of it. And by Cadillac.
That's how you stick with it. Woo! Now, we got some things to get corrected. We could have even played better. But let me tell you something, man. That's a hell of a effing job!
Happy locker room at Soldier Field last week after the Jags rallied from a 13-point deficit in the fourth quarter for their second consecutive win. Welcome into Jaguars Weekend. JP Shadrick with you. We're in the team room at Everbank Field. The Jaguars are back at Everbank Field, and this is the only game in this stadium in the month of October. That's one reason to have it packed this Sunday against the Raiders. Another is the Jags dug an 0-3 hole to start the season. They've won back-to-back games, and they could get to 500 this week. And, yeah, there's a familiar face on the opposing sideline this Sunday as well. Before we get to the Week 7 game against the Oakland Raiders, why not look back to the win over the Chicago Bears and Jags this week? The Jags started the week with a look back at the win in Chicago and another big-time performance from the defense.
To come out of there giving up one touchdown, I think the big stat defensively was 1-for-4 in the red zone. You know, where they come away with just field goals, gave us a chance, especially at the end, to get back in the game and end up winning the game.
As the team got back on the practice field, the focus turned to more consistency on offense, especially up front.
We can't depend on anybody else. We can't look for anybody else. It's us against the world, and we have to take that mentality. And we got to take that mentality in the run game. You know, we did some great things in the passing game, but we got to find a way to get that running game off the ground so we're not in that particular situation throughout the entire game.
Could there be more tempo on offense?
None of us are satisfied with the way we've performed this year. And that's what we're all in here trying to figure out is a way to get going offensively.
Now that the team has back-to-back wins, they'll look for three in a row for the first time since 2013.
We know big picture-wise we're not where we want to be, but it's in the past and there's nothing you can do about it. So let's find ways to go to continue and improve and continue to win one week at a time.
Welcome in Brian Sexton and John Osier. The Jaguars have a chance, guys, Sunday to get to 3-3 for the first time since 2010. A chance, at least.
Well, and what an opportunity to change the conversation. 0-3 coming out of Baltimore. You're coming back. Somehow you got the last two. And now all of a sudden, over the next 3 or 4 days, they can come out and get to 4-3. I'm getting way ahead of myself because they have to beat Oakland. But this is an opportunity to put the errors of the first three games and the sloppiness, whatever it was, behind you and start your season over. And I don't think anybody thought that was the case after Baltimore.
Well, and this is a part of the schedule where the matchups seem to favor the Jaguars. We have not, over the last couple of years, been able to look at a lot of games and say, oh, yeah, this works for them. It did last week in Chicago, even though it took them a while to exploit them. It does this week. I think it does the week after. This is that moment where they go to get it. So that makes this a really big game on Sunday. Yeah. For a team that wants to get in the thick of the AFC South race, here it is.
Jaguars offense is struggling, but the Raiders defense is too, so maybe a chance to get that going, a good matchup like Brian said.
Yeah, let's stay on the offense. You know, tempo was the real buzzword around Everbank Field this week. How do they mix that in? Does that help the quarterback play better? Where do you start here?
Well, I think, Brian, they've been reluctant to do it because of the factor of how much it wears out the defense. But it feels like listening to Gus Bradley, yeah. Greg Olsen, like it's there a little bit. They're not giving away what it's going to be, but I think they've got to mix it in a little bit because it's been too effective for them not to at least try it, and they've been struggling without it.
Well, and I think tempo helps you this week against not only a Raiders team that's struggling, but that has some edge rushers mm-hmm. in Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin, and you want to keep them off balance, and so I would expect to see it early. I don't know how often, but I think you will see them go to it. Here's the other thing. Last week, it worked. If you've got a rhythm going and you have an offense struggling, go back to what worked, even for a little while.
And it may be a case, JP, where they believe it works, so that's why you got to do it, the players.
And if it doesn't work, though, that's the scary part of this thing. You don't want to weaken a very strong defense, at least so far, for the Jaguars. There's more ahead on Jaguars Weekend. We go into the film room with head coach Gus Bradley for a look at the Oakland Raiders defense. Also, a Super Bowl winning coach in the house for a special event for a great cause. And get the grill ready. We've got steak this week on Game Day Grub. That's all coming up, but first a closer look at former Jaguars tight end Kyle Brady on Classic Jags, presented by Lexus.
Down the seam, caught, Brady. Kyle Brady gets to midfield.
Kyle Brady is the very definition of a throwback player. Tight ends used to be the utility infielder of a football team. A guy who could block and catch the football. Today, they're just big receivers. Brady was a big, old-school end.
But Kyle Brady was a good tight end who was big, strong, and could block anybody.
Kyle Brady's strength was blocking defensive ends one-on-one, and you didn't worry about him.
Brady was also a reliable target for quarterbacks. He posted 64 catches in 1999 and came up with back-to-back 100-yard games for a struggling offense in 2000.
When I look at him now, and I see this gigantic rectangle, okay, and I sit there and I wonder how any quarterback could ever miss that guy. It's a big, giant rectangle moving around the field. Just throw it to the rectangle and he'll catch the football.
He's either 1 or 1A of, with Darryl Smith, the most underrated player ever to wear a Jaguar uniform.
Brady, at 6'7 and 280 pounds, looked the part of a professional football player. Luckily for Tom Coughlin and Jack Del Rio, he played like it too.
What's up, world?
I'm back. Y'all remember what happened last time?
He's back. Aaron Colvin back on the field against the Chicago Bears after a four-game suspension, and he made an immediate impact as well. You can check out the full Sounds of the Game feature on Jaguars.com and the Jags mobile app. Welcome back to Jaguars Weekend. Well, we know all about the Oakland Raiders offense. There's a top 10 group coming to Everbank Field this week. But what do they do on the defensive side? Jeff Lagerman is with Gus Bradley in the film room presented by Cadillac.
Here now with the head coach. And this week, Gus, the Raiders come to town in a familiar face. Ken Norton Jr., the defensive coordinator of the Oakland Raiders, you spent some time with in Seattle.
Yeah, Kenny and I were together for 3 years and did an unbelievable job with our linebackers when we were there together. And just the overall defense, I mean, a certain mentality brought that to the group, and they really fed off him.
He was a hell of a player, by the way.
He was.
I used to enjoy watching him. He was kind of feisty.
Well, it's great. You know, he was a great player, and now he's a great coach, too. And he's developed over the years. Now he's coordinating the whole defense.
So since he spent time in Seattle with you, people would expect that the similarities of defenses between the Raiders and you guys would be pretty close. Is that true?
Well, I think there's some similar concepts, but I think there's, you know, they went to some more split safety looks. And so he's evolved over the time, you know, what we did in Seattle. And you see it. And I think what's really cool about that is he really is based on their personnel. They have a chance to get two Leo type guys on the field, and with their DBs, their strengths there, and linebackers, utilizes all their strengths.
Well, I think the best player, Khalil Mack, a fantastic player, was a very high draft pick a couple years ago, and there was a debate. Would Jadeveon Clowney or Khalil Mack be the first overall pick? It was Clowney, but Khalil Mack, heck of a player.
He is. You know, had a great year last year, and now it's carried over to this year. Just very aggressive, plays with energy to every play that he's in. And then right here can rush, and he's a very effective rusher.
Now, his numbers aren't particularly high, but I'm sure at the end of the year his numbers will be high. But what I appreciate most about him, not only is he an excellent pass rusher, but also an excellent run player.
Well, again, he just understands leverage so well. You talk about a guy that uses his hands, plays with great effort, got tremendous strength and right here, and just a willingness to make every play that he can possibly make.
And also a familiar face comes back to town. The Jaguars drafted Reggie Nelson. Reggie is returning. Deep middle player, had great success with the Cincinnati Bengals, and now kind of back to that role with the Raiders.
He is, a free safety back there, single safety's got to cover from red line to red line, and this is a classic example right here. And, can cover a lot of ground. He's got an interception already this year. Here he has a chance for another one.
Reggie always had great speed. And we talk about red line to red line. This is what you're talking about, right? Your center field all the way to the boundary.
All the way to the boundary, yeah. And just, you know, it's not only speed, it's just instincts. You know, reading the quarterback, getting a great break off of him.
So a little competition maybe this week between you and Ken Norton Jr.? Is that competitive still between the two of you?
Oh, he's competitive, without a doubt. So it'd be good to see him before the game.
All right, thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
Guys, thanks a lot. It's time to go now into the Jags locker room with Sinderik Marks. He calls it the Gold Room. It's a weekly visit with a teammate. We call it Players Only.
Aaron Coleman, AC, what we call him. We want to welcome you to the Gold Room, man.
So
you finally got back at your first game. You was out for 4 weeks, everybody know that. Like, what that process is like, being out, watching football, but, like, you can't come in the building.
It's tough, man, and when I first found out, it was tough on me. I was trying to think, you know, what could I do? Do I need to prepare extra hard? Do I need to relax and just wait till I can get back? But it was difficult at times, man, but to see the defense playing well, it was encouraging. But also, being able to watch the game at home as a fan, I could just realize what I could bring to the team and what I could do to help the defense out. And the different aspects of the game that I could come back and help. And just to be able to watch it on TV and tell my teammates also what I seen. And at the end of the day, it was good. I know that I only have 12 games, so I have to make my presence felt.
Last week, first game back, I saw you. Like, you was too focused. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you was locked in. What was going through your mind going into that game, like getting your get back, basically?
Yeah. I'm just real hungry right now. Like, every opportunity I get, I know that I have to take advantage of it because I gave everybody a head start. Everybody got 4 games ahead of me. So I know that when I came back, I couldn't be slacking. I couldn't be mentally behind because we were in midseason. So I knew that when I came back, my presence just had to be felt out there every single play, every snap. So that's how I approach Chicago. That's how I'm going to approach this week. That's how I'm going to approach next week and throughout the whole season.
Now, everybody see you dressing. I see you dress a lot. I see all the different styles you put on, you wear. I'm kind of black and white. Like, I don't know nothing about fashion. First off, you got to teach me about fashion. You got to connect me with whoever it is that you get your clothes from. And just speak on, like, your fashion, where you get it from, like, what drive you to wear certain stuff.
I can't really say that it's one person that influenced me or it's my background that influenced me. I've just always been a fan of it. I've always liked people that dress nice. My mom was always big on me matching and making sure I looked presentable when I went outside. So it kind of just followed me. And right now, you know, when you get a little money in your pocket, you can do a little bit more stuff. So I'm working with one of my homegirls. Name is Angie Douglas. She has her own styling company. It's called ID Style, and we actually just got together this past off season and just started talking, man, and we fell in love with it, and we got some big things, so hopefully it'll jump off for me. But that's second, man. This football thing is first right now, so if I can dress nice, I try to do it, but if it comes in the way of football, then it's a wrap.
Man, link me up. I need to get somebody to get
me. I got you, dog. You already fresh, though.
Word. Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
All right.
No doubt.
There's still more to come on Jaguars Weekend. Up next, meet me at the 50, a great night for a great cause at Everbank Field. And they've got the grill fired up this week for game day grub.
What Bortles is going to do is he's going to win you games. That's what he's got to do. Don't worry about 300-yard outings and fantasy football numbers. He's got to win games.
Monday Night Football analyst John Gruden discussing the Jags quarterback at Meet Me at the 50. And welcome back to Jaguars Weekend. Now, the Jaguars Women's Association puts on that event each and every year. It's always spectacular, and it's for a fantastic cause. And Brian Sexton has more in this Baptist Health feature.
The NFL season can be such a grind for coaches, players, and broadcasters that they rarely come up for air until it's over, unless a compelling cause causes them to alter their schedule. Meet Me at the 50 proved to be that for the Jaguars on a beautiful Thursday night in Jacksonville. The Jaguars and a certain former coach turned broadcaster and his ESPN colleague all showed up at the 50-yard line in support of In the Pink, a local nonprofit that helps women engaged in their fight with breast cancer.
Collectively as an organization, we all rallied together and said, how can we make this a signature event? And everybody's efforts, I think the result is showing.
We should all be yelling for Alan who?
Allen! Watch this up top at the top of the screen.
John Gruden entertained the crowd with his patented blend of serious football, timely quips of personality that have made him one of Monday Night Football's most loved broadcasters.
Why don't you choke him like a chicken, get a sack, and I'll let you out of here. Let's hear it for Senator Derek Parks.
To be able to contribute is something that excites me, and to get reunited with the Jacksonville Jaguars and Gus Bradley and the job that they're doing here is, it's a great, great feeling for me.
Gruden's presence went a little beyond a great cause. The Jags head coach, both coordinators, and several other members of Gus Bradley's staff work for him, and he keeps close tabs on what's going on with the Jaguars.
It's a big part of this business, you know that. This is a real close-knit fraternity coaching, and to come together, get reunited, and hopefully raise some awareness and some money for a great cause is going to be fun.
Laughter and fun mixed with the knowledge that the entire evening would offer women suffering from breast cancer the hope and love they need to win their fight. Meet Me at the 50 has truly become a compelling evening with the Jaguars. For Jaguars Weekend, I'm Brian Sexton.
Brian, thanks a lot. It's always a fun night and certainly was again this year. It's time now to go into the kitchen. Game Day Grub presented by Tico People's Gas. There's a hot grill. There's red meat. Let's go, Michaela.
Welcome back to Game Day Grub, presented by Tico People's Gas. We're here today at the Dreamfinders Home Palms at Nocatee, which is a natural gas community. Today, I've got Chef Tony back from Publix, and I also have with me Imani Pollard today, who is the wife of Marcus Pollard, our the Director of Player Engagement.
You got it.
So I got it right. What do we got today?
I want to be the director of something.
I know, and anything sounds good with engagement. Sounds
here we go. Right. I'm going to be the director of natural gas grilling. That's my new title.
That. Got it.
Which I'm responsible for the engagement of what?
That ribeye steak. Ribeye.
Going out to the grill. That's what I'm talking about. That is right. This is a ribeye steak full of fat. Fat is flavor. That marbleization that's happening in there is a beautiful thing. But we're going to take it up just a little bit more. We're going to up the ante on our food. Are we ready?
We're ready.
No, it didn't sound like we're ready. Are we ready?
Oh, no, we're ready.
We're ready.
Right? You're going to be like, we're ready. Break down, right? All right, so over here we have some sugar in the raw is what we're going to start with. Then we're going to move up to our chili powder, which has the blue cap on it. Open that up and pour some in. That's right. Boom. Come on.
Boom.
I like you mean it.
Boom.
There we go. Right, a little bit more. There we go. And then we're going to grab the cumin, and we're going to put some of that in there as well. Right? So if you've ever had tacos, this is the flavor of tacos.
Oh.
Right here.
Okay.
That's what cumin is. So our steaks need to be salted. There's some salt and pepper.
Did I just jump in a hearse?
Oh, you're okay. Well, hey, look, we're all one team here, right? We pick it up for the next player, right? That's what we do. I'm going to have her flip the steaks.
Okay.
Look at that. See? Boom. It's like a handoff.
There you go.
Boom.
Oh, season it up again. Tell me, how you like it. it's beautiful stuff. I'm a big fan. Now you're gonna take that stuff and you're gonna mix it up with your hand. Yeah,
ooh.
Get it in there, mix it up. Then you're gonna rub it all up on the ribeye. You're gonna be rub it in. That way it stays. Don't be bashful. It's mocking you right now. It says, tackle me already.
Excellent. Like in there?
You gotta do both, right? We gotta do both steaks here, yeah. So the watermelon on the board.
Yes.
That is for a grilled watermelon salad, of which we'll put some crumbled goat cheese over with some, as well as some lettuce and a little balsamic glaze. Flip them over. They need to be seasoned on both sides. We get them seasoned on both sides. Where are we gonna take it, Michaela?
We're taking it to the natural gas grill right outside.
Natural gas, and we're gonna grill it up. Right, for me, 4 minutes on each side over high heat. Take it off, it's ready to go. I love my steak at 125. Some people like it at 160. I say eat chicken if you're taking it that high. So that's our dry rub steak.
Awesome.
We're gonna eat it right on up.
It looks pretty good to me. For that recipe and a look at all the Game Day Grub segments, make sure you visit peoplesgas.com/cooking. There's still more to come. Jack's back, this time with the Oakland Raiders. A preview of the Week 7 matchup is coming up on Jaguars Weekend.
I'm not just about to just drink Gatorade if it's linen in it. You know what I'm saying? Grass. I ain't no country boy like you. I ain't go to UGA.
Rookie linebacker Miles Jack mic'd up last Sunday against the Bears. Check out that Jags Wired segment and all the rest on Jaguars.com. And welcome back to Jaguars Weekend. Guess what, guys? The Raiders are here. Jack is back.
Well, I only covered Jack Del Rio from afar. I got him for about 10 games in 2011. I know from covering him when I was with the Colts and watching him play against the Colts as Jaguars head coach, he can motivate. And when it's a big game, he can get a team up for it.
I had a lot of fun. I mean, I was up close and personal every year he was here, obviously. And so this is one of my favorite Jack stories, and the list is long. And it's in categories, those that you can tell on the air and those that you can't. But the one that strikes me is that I was standing on the field doing pregame television before the Chargers game in 2003. My phone rings. It says Jack Del Rio. I say, what is he doing calling me? He says, I just want to let you know the victory party is at my house after the game. He hangs up. The Jags win. I go to his house. It was a good time.
I'll bet.
Jaguars and the Raiders coming up this Sunday, and we'll talk to you next week on Jaguars Weekly.